Let's get into the Word of God this morning. Matthew chapter 7. And again, thank you so much for joining us. Texas is a huge state. In fact, we've driven across Texas a couple times, and it seems like it never ends. We say it takes days to get across Texas. It really is a big state, and there's all kinds of terrain in Texas. In fact, in western Dallas County in Texas, it's actually known as the Black Land Prairie. The soil there, it's grayish black in color, and the reason is it has a very high clay content. There's a lot of cotton, other crops that grow there. But the high clay content, what happens is it causes foundations to move and to crack. And they say that when there's a lot of rainfall, that the ground there in that area turns to like a gooey mess. It's very sticky. It causes foundations of houses to move. And then when there's very little rainfall, the ground, all that moisture sucked out, and all of that, the clay content, it just causes it to crack. And as a result, there's a lot of contractors that make a good living at constantly leveling foundations and shoring up foundations of houses there in that part of our country. Do you know that every one of us, we're building our life on a foundation? And Jesus is talking about that. Jesus, he gives us a story. He gives us a story of two different foundations. So in Matthew chapter 7, you have absolutely heard this story before because we've preached on the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, we did a series on the Sermon on the Mount a couple years ago. But let me share with you just a few verses beginning in verse 24 from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says this, Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, it shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Even though you've heard this passage of scripture, let me encourage you to open your mind, and maybe you'll hear something new or be reinforced about the necessity of having a rock solid foundation. Now listen, we've got to be prepared for storms, and storms have come our way. 2020 was storm after storm, and occasionally during the year there were some bright spots. What were some of those bright spots? Personally, we had 4 grandchildren in 2020. That's a huge bright spot. So that doesn't mean 2020 was a terrible, bad year all around. But in between having those grandchildren, there were some storms. There were times when there was sickness, there was political instability, there were riots, there was lootings going on in our country. There were times when we couldn't have service and times when we could have service. So there were some storms, if you will, in 2020. I'm so thankful that our foundation at Tucson Baptist Church is built upon the solid rock of the Word of God. We survived 2020, but we're going into 2021. And there's no doubt that it's possible we could have some bigger storms in 2021. Will our foundation be solid enough to allow us to go through? Well, let's personalize it. Will your foundation in your life be strong enough to allow you to endure whatever storm may come your way this year, 2021. Perhaps we'll see some truths that you've never noticed before. And so, let me say, beginning back in chapter number 5, and concluding with this passage, Jesus, he uttered what is considered the greatest message ever preached. Chapter 5, verse 1 says that after seeing the multitude, and perhaps there were thousands of people there, that we know that he fed 5,000, so it's likely there were thousands of people here. The Bible says, Jesus, he went up into a mountain where he was seated, and he opened his mouth, and he taught his disciples. He begins with the Beatitudes, and he explains the blessed life that's in the kingdom in chapter 5, verse 3 through 10. We know that he teaches about salt and light in this world, and he calls us to realize that our righteousness must not be merely superficial, that we must not practice the hypocritical religion of the religion. He said in chapter 5, verse 20, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." This reminds me that adultery takes place in the heart, and that God sees marriage as sacred and binding. He compels us to be honest and trustworthy, to let our yes be yes and our no be no. We're to go to the second mile. We're to serve the call of duty. He teaches that here in the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 6, the Master teaches us to do good deeds, to be seen of God and not man. And he teaches us about how to pray, and he teaches us the principle of prayer and fasting. He points out the folly of only making earthly investments, and he encourages us to lay up our treasures in heaven. The Lord then attacks the sin of worry, and he shows us that true faith in God banishes worry from our minds. In chapter 7, Jesus condemns our judgmental attitudes, teaching us to judge not that ye be not judged. And he motivates us to persistence in our prayer life and to keep on asking and seeking and knocking. And so he comes to these concluding verses of this magnificent sermon, and Jesus draws us here to make a decision. And he warns that the judgment is to come, and he pleads with us to choose that straight gate in verse 13 and 14. And he reminds us that not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom of God. And so this last passage here is a continuation of his teachings in chapter 5, 6, and chapter 7. I think it's important that we notice the response of the people to whom Jesus is preaching. In chapter 7, verse 28 and 29, Matthew, he writes this: "They were astonished, surprised, marveled at the doctrine that he taught as one having great authority, and not one of those scribes." I think one of the things that we're taught in Bible school is, as preacher boys, as those who would go to a Bible college and sit under the teaching of another pastor who's been in ministry, is that we learn through hermeneutics and homiletics. Those are two big words that talk about how to preach, basically. And basically we're taught you have an introduction, you have two, three, four points of your message, and then you have a good concluding story. And the purpose of that concluding story is to draw everything together, your theme and the points that you want to point out in the message. You wrap it all up in one story to just grab hold of people. We've learned that through the years, and oftentimes we'll end a message with a story that pulls everything together. And the whole purpose of that story is to drive home the truth of that message. Jesus, this is exactly what he does. He preaches, teaches the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most amazing messages in all of the Word of God. And in this, he drives home a point. He tells a story. He pulls it all together. And so in that way, it's a pretty remarkable story about the foundation. And so here's what I'd like to do this morning. If you're taking notes, great. If you're just watching and listening, that's a great also. But let me give you four truths this morning in our message. Four truths. We'll try not to be long this morning. I know that it's hard just to watch a video on your television without interaction abilities and about without being able to see, touch, feel, hear, all that. I understand that. This is different. But for today and next week, we can do this together. And so if you could just listen and maybe ask the Lord to speak to you right now, let me share four truths with you that come out of this parable that we read in Matthew chapter 7. Truth number one is this: we are all responsible to God. Truth number one is we are all responsible to God. What do I mean by that? We need to remember that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And so we're responsible to God. He said in chapter 7, verse 14, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it." He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Jesus said in John 14, in verse number 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He said in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." He said in, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus." And so everyone's going to answer a question: what have I done with Jesus Christ? Oh, man, 2020's, it's behind us, not too far behind us, just 3 days. 2021's ahead of us, and it's so easy to get our eyes off of Jesus Christ and onto our circumstances and let our circumstances control us than Jesus Christ. But every one of us, you who are watching right now, you will answer this question: what have I done with Christ Jesus? In chapter 7, verse 24, he describes the person who heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. He describes that person as a wise man. I want to be wise in 2021. I want to be known as a wise person. But on the other hand, in verse number 26, he describes that everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Notice that both the wise and the foolish, this is significant. It's just a little thing in this story that it just jumped off the pages to me. Jesus said this: both heard him. Think about that. Both the wise man and the foolish man, they both heard the exact same words that Jesus said. The difference is not what they heard. The difference is what they did after hearing what Jesus said. We will all answer to God about what we have done with the words of Jesus Christ. It's a universal truth. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." Philippians 2 verse 10 and 11 speaks of a future time when at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In today's society, we find excuses for everything. Now listen, we blame our parents and we blame our teachers and we blame our staff, our spouses, and we blame our co-workers, and we blame our children, and our courts are full of people involved in lawsuits because no one's willing to accept responsibility for their actions. Mark my words, everyone will stand before God, and no one will have an excuse for rejecting Jesus Christ. There will be no free passes. There will be no get out of free hell cards one day. In John 15, verse number 22, Jesus said of mankind, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, that they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. And Romans 1 in verse number 20, the word of God says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." What have you done with Jesus Christ? Is he the friend that sticketh closer than a brother? You and I are personally responsible for this message. Jesus said, there's the wise man and the foolish man. They both heard the exact same words. But the wise man listened, heeded what Jesus had to say. You will answer to God about Jesus Christ. You will answer for every time you heard the gospel message and you refused it. You will answer for every sermon, every Bible lesson, every conversation, every gospel tract, every radio or television program, every online service that proclaimed the saving grace of Jesus. And so I say eternal truth number one is simply this, is that we are all responsible to God. What will we do with Jesus Christ? Number two, key this morning is we all choose a foundation for life. Every one of us will choose a foundation for life. We all choose the foundation in our life. Now, if we examine this story here, we saw that there were two. There was the firm foundation and the sandy foundation. The idea of a man building a house in this parable is synonymous with each of us building our lives. That's what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. We all choose what we will believe and not believe. We all choose our morals. We all choose our values. We all choose our priorities, and we choose our attitudes, and we choose our philosophies, and we choose what we do and what we won't do with the message of Jesus Christ. The Bible says the first man was a wise man. He's wise because he looked beyond the present to the future. He could envision a day when he would need a strong foundation. The wise man understood that the storms of life are coming. He heard what Jesus had to say, but not only did he hear what Jesus had to say, he obeyed what Jesus had to say. And the Bible says he entered into the straight gate. Jesus says that the foundation chosen by the man was on a rock. What is the rock? The rock here is from a Greek word, Petra, which does not mean a stone. It does not even mean a boulder. It's talking about an outcropping of a rock like the side of a mountain. It's solid. It's stable. It's unmovable. The Bible refers to Jesus as the Petra, as the rock. He said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In many other passages, Jesus is called the chief cornerstone. I love the words of a hymn the people of God have sung for over a century. We sing it right here at Tucson Baptist Church. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." You can be a wise person by building your life upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. There was years ago, an old insurance advertisement used to say this: "Get yourself a piece of the rock." It referred to financial security. But you know, spiritually speaking, in everyday life, practically speaking, may I just say that we can have eternal hope, we can have eternal security, we can have eternal peace if we build our life upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Note several ways we build our life on Jesus Christ. How is this practically applied? First and foremost, I build my life upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ by entering into a relationship called salvation. I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I take that next step quickly, and that is that I'm baptized. It's the first act of obedience, and that is I'm baptized. After I'm baptized, I join with a local church church. It's clearly taught in the New Testament that I'm to align myself with a local group of believers. And so I join that church. And then I learn and I go through discipleship and I start that process of sanctification as I get into God's Word. And then I use as I go through discipleship and I learn that I have gifts and talents, then I begin to use those gifts and talents in that local body of believers that I joined. So that's how I practically today build my life on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Now listen, let me just share with you. Tucson Baptist Church, I realize there will be people watching right now from all across the world, and no doubt as this message and service will be posted on our YouTube channel later on through the next several months, there'll be people who catch this and watch this later. But here's the truth. In 2020, there was a sad percentage of members of Tucson Baptist Church that fell by the wayside. People who used to sing in the choir, who used to tithe, who used to come out for visitation, who used to be involved in discipleship, they fell by the wayside. They disobeyed these practical application of building their life on Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful we had dozens saved and baptized in 2020 and finished discipleship and joined our church. I mean, it wasn't all bad in 2020. Our church grew in spite of those who fell by the wayside. And those who fell by the wayside, we'd have to say or ask this question: did they build their relationship and their life on the shifting foundation that Jesus talks about in 26? Notice that Jesus very bluntly describes this person as a foolish man. He's heard the words of Jesus, but he's not obeyed them. This is the person who's rejected what God's instructed them to do. He's put off. He's rejected. He's turned back. He's heard the sermons. He's heard the Bible lessons. He's listened to friends and family speak of Christ, and he's not responded, or he only responded temporarily. I want you to close your eyes and imagine with me. You might think Jesus sounded harsh here in calling this person a foolish man, because nobody wants to be called foolish today. But Jesus said that a person who would hear and not follow him, they're foolish. And imagine with me, your neighbor's house is on fire. Oh, the smell, the heat, the smoke. Imagine that all the family makes it outside but the dad. The dad, he chooses to sit down in his easy chair in the living room, and even though his house is on fire and there's flames everywhere, and people call him from the front lawn, they scream his name, the doorway is open, the firemen arrive, and they rush into the burning house, and they try to drag him out, and he holds on to his easy chair, and he will not budge, and the firemen say, "Come on, we gotta go. You're going to die." And the dad says, "No, I'm going to sit here on my easy chair. I'll get out a little bit later." Would you call that person foolish? Categorically, 100% of us would say, "What is wrong with that dude? That guy is crazy. He's foolish." That's the same person who hears the words of Jesus and is not willing to do them. He's foolish. His life is burning down around him. People are yelling. People are pleading. "Please, obey. Believe on Jesus. Get back in church." "I will later." That's what Jesus is saying here. Jesus says that he builds his house on sand. Sand is never stable. It shifts and it drifts and it blows with the wind. The ways of the world are like sand. Men's opinions and philosophies and standards and morals are constantly changing. Did you see what happened in the country of Argentina this past week? Apparently, the virus is immune to all the tens of thousands of people that rallied in Argentina when it was determined that they would make abortion legal, and there was celebration upon celebration and people cheering and singing and dancing over the ability to kill babies. It's a sad video, and it's been all over the internet and on Twitter and about the people celebrating in the country of Argentina. I'm telling you, God weeps that a country would say, yes, we can now legally kill babies in our country, and a country goes wild with excitement. Oh, I'm telling you that there's some shifting sands in our society today. We live in a day in which the consensus is that there is no absolute right. There is no absolute wrong. This post-Christian culture believes that everything is relative. And may I just tell you, that is shifting sand. It's still murder to abort babies. Now, in Jesus' day, the Pharisees and the Pharisees and scribes, they had a complex system of religious traditions that they tried to keep. And we don't want to get into all that this morning. It was Jewish custom, traditions. We would look at that and say, man, they're crazy, you know, putting Bible verses on their forehead and on their wrist and you know, bowing so many times and just the way they had their hair. We would say, man, those traditions, what is up with that? But we do the same thing. We do the exact same thing. We put our traditions, our desires above the Word of God and what God tells us to do. What type of foundation seems best to you this morning? Would you rather build on the eternal security of an almighty God or the shifting sands of men's whims? Men and women will turn on you in a heartbeat. And we've seen this in the last few months in our own country. But when I look at this story, there's something else that popped out of me. The first thing I shared with you is that everyone heard Jesus. That's what the story says. Everyone heard, but there were two reactions. Some were wise and some were foolish. But here's something else I see in this story. Notice that these houses seem similar from the outside. On the outside, they look very similar. Jesus uses almost identical language in verse 24 and verse 26. The houses seem to be hit by the same storm. In other words, there's little external difference. The houses look the same. And in the same way, there are many that look like genuine Christians. They talk like genuine Christians. Maybe they even like genuine Christians in the fact that they come to church from time to time. They read their Bible from time to time. Maybe they say a prayer every few days. But they've built their life on shifting sand. In verses 15 through 16, Jesus says there are many false prophets who are like wolves in sheep's clothing. In verses 17 through 20, he compares them to corrupt trees who bear evil fruit, who are good for nothing but to be cut down, excuse me, and to be thrown into the fire. In verses 21 through 23, Jesus says that there will be people that say, Lord, Lord, but he will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. There are people who hear this message who look like, talk like, act like believers, but in their hearts, they do not know Christ. I'm asking you this morning, what's your foundation built upon? What's your foundation? Here's truth number three this morning. Truth number three is that we will all face storms. Truth number three is we will all face storms. Not a one of us are exempt from storms. Jesus describes a variety of storms that fell on both houses. In verse 25 and verse 27, they're again almost identical. The Word of God says, the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew. Three descriptions of the storm. The storms are a certainty. The storms will come. It makes no difference whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. The storms will come. Sometimes there are storm warnings, and sometimes storms strike suddenly. And we all experience different types of storms. What do I mean by storms? Oh, there are storms of sickness. We certainly have experienced that in 2020 and going into 2021. 2021. With God's help, maybe we'll avoid some more storms of sickness, but it's likely we're going to have some storms of sickness. Many of us have faced and will face severe health issues, either in our own bodies or in those that we love. And nothing is more frustrating than to deal with a sickness that you cannot control, deal with a sickness that you cannot change. So storms of sickness is a real storm, and it can strike anyone. There's storms of finances. Many times we face the pressure of our debts being greater than our bank account. And perhaps we're living from paycheck to paycheck, and that next rent is due, that next house payment is due, you have a car payment is due, you have the unexpected doctor's bill from that sickness that is due. There's a storm of finances, and for others, there is a real storm that we have faced and dealt with over the past few months of depression. Sometimes we get to a place where there are no blue skies, and all that we see is the darkness, and we see clouds, and we see rain, and it causes us to be emotionally and spiritually and mentally depressed. It is real, and it has happened in the last few months as we've dealt with suicide, and we've dealt with families who have struggled in their marriage, and we've dealt with children who have just completely turned upside down, and teenagers struggling because they once were able to play sports, and now they're locked in their home, and they once were able to be involved in school activities, and now they're doing online school. Depression is real. It is a storm. And if your life is not built upon the foundation of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the storm will be rough. There's also the storms of death. It's a bitter storm. And we have faced that in the last few days when we've had to announce that there have been people who have died, and we've had funeral service right here in our own church, and we're waiting to have memorial services in the future for others who have died. It's a bitter storm. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, it's a little bit lengthy, but he wrote this, and I found it to be applicable. There are tens of thousands to whom the preaching of the gospel is as music. It's in the ears of a corpse. They shut their ears and will not hear. And though the testimony be concerning God's own Son and life eternal and the way to escape from everlasting wrath, when worldly trouble comes like a storm, those persons who will not hear the words of Jesus have no consolation to cheer them. When sickness comes, they have no joy of heart to sustain them under its pains. And when death, the most terrible of storms, beats upon them, they feel its full fury, but they can find no hiding place. They neglect the housing of their souls, and when the hurricane of almighty wrath shall break forth in the world to come, they will have no place of refuge. If you've built your life on the shifting sands of this world, that would describe you. Well, my time's getting away from me here, so key number four, we all experience the consequences of our choices. We all experience the consequences of our choices. Notice here, there's a consequence if we build our life on a solid foundation. What's the consequence? Jesus says that's a wise man. The consequence is that when the storm comes, because the house has been built upon the rock, and when the forces of that storm come, of sickness, of death, of finances, of depression, of whatever is going on in your life, and no matter how hard the storm, no matter how your life gets badder, Jesus said, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. When you build your life on Jesus, you can let the storms howl. Yes, it may be difficult, but in the end, you are going to still be standing. When your life is built on Jesus, you can even weather the storm of death, because Paul said this in Philippians 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We all experience the consequences of our choices. And Jesus even says there's a consequence if you build your life on a shifting foundation. I'm puzzled why so many people want the world's approval, and those aren't the people that will be there when you're going through your trial and you're going through your storm. They abandon you quickly. Jesus says that the foolish man, he builds his house on the shifting sands of this world's opinions, of this world's approval. And when the difficult storms of life come, Jesus is very clear. The house fell flat. I do not know how people face the storms of this world without Christ. I really don't. As I look back on every crisis, I'm so thankful that Jesus has been my shield. He's been my defender. Notice that Jesus not only says that the house fell, but great was the fall of it. The great fall of a life not built on Christ is a fall into a Christless eternity, an eternity in hell. And for the Christian, the fall is great in the fact that you may lose your marriage. You may lose your children. You may lose your finances. You may lose your health if you just dabble with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as I close my message this morning, two one-sentence thoughts. Here's the first one. If you only hear and read the truth, you're not prepared for the storms to come. Let me say that again. If you only hear and read the truth, you are not prepared for the storms to come. Jesus said that. He said everyone that was there, they heard. And of course, we can hear and read the word of God. And Jesus said there were two different responses. If you only hear, you're not prepared. Which leads me to the second thought. If your foundation is sure, no storm will cause your life to collapse. If your foundation is sure, no storm will cause your life to collapse. 2020, I'm glad it's behind us. If nothing else, if it's just a date on the calendar, I'm still glad it's behind us. I realize that when I cross from Thursday into Friday, the fact is that Friday was a Friday just like every other Friday. It's a day of the week that's there every single week. So it wasn't like there was lightning and thunder and like suddenly everything is wiped away. It's just a date on the calendar. But mentally speaking, I'm glad 2020 is behind us. I'm looking forward to 2021 and the opportunities that lie before us, but there are going to be some storms. And if my life is built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, I have nothing to fear. I wonder how many of you have crossed the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. The Golden Gate Bridge is fascinating. Do you realize that they start painting the Golden Gate Bridge and that the painting absolutely never stops, okay? Other than weather, but I'm just saying, the Golden Gate Bridge, they paint it, and by the time they get to the other end painting it, they start all over again. It is always being painted, always being serviced. Now, the Golden Gate Bridge is, but it's built upon a fault zone called the San Andreas Fault. Excuse me. It's amazing. When you study the Golden Gate Bridge, it's actually built to sway some 20 feet at the center of one of its 1 mile suspension span. And the secret is to its durability is the flexibility in which it sways. But that's not all. When you study the Golden Gate Bridge, by design, every part of the bridge, it's concrete roadway, it's steel railings, it's cross beams, it is inevitably related from one welded joint to the other up through the vast cable system that's so magnificent that's become one of the most iconic photograph bridges in all the world, and it's all due to two towers. And if you look at the bottom, which no one cares about, they're anchored in two great piers. And the tower bears most of the weight. And according to how this bridge was built, it was deeply embedded into the rock foundation beneath the sea. In other words, the bridge is totally preoccupied with its foundation. Oh, it may look good, but without that foundation, through the numerous earthquakes that San Francisco area has had since it was built, it would have collapsed. What is its secret? Its flexibility and its foundation. I ask you this morning, how's your foundation? Are you ready? Are you assured? We'll have some storms in 2021. There'll be some storms of sickness, finances, depression, family issues, death. But if our life is built upon the solid rock of the Word of God, Jesus Christ will survive. Some of you, it's time to recommit to the Lord. You weren't very faithful in 2020. And as your pastor, I'm encouraging you, recommit. Get back on that solid rock. If you're watching this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus said, there's people that have heard my message and they walked away. And then they're going to say, oh yeah, Lord, Lord, I remember I was there at church and I heard that message. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You have no relationship with him. If that's you, you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ today.